Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 46. On this week's episode, we are finding Dory and discovering Universal. To my left, right, and in front of me is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo.
I'm looking.
You can find that video and more over at youtube.com/pogo, his music at soundcloud.com/pogomix, and his website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter for this show at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That is D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. If you head on over to Facebook and search for Disney Magic Hour, you can find our ever-growing group where we discuss Disney all the time, all the time, all the time. And if you hop on over to iTunes and give a 5-star review, we will read it on the air for you. We have to check for that because we've been kind of out of it for the last couple of weeks, but moving. And you can also find us on Google Play. If you search for the podcast section and then look for Disney Magic Hour, you can find us. And you can also find all of our audio, including all of our previous episodes, over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. That's actually a very popular way right now to listen to the show. We've seen a lot of people just enjoy listening to it right off that app. So, hello, we're back after a week and a half or so hiatus because we are moving. We're still in the process, honestly, of moving to Florida. We are here physically, but right now we are recording this show on top of, what would you call this?
A bin, a plastic bin.
Yeah, it's just a plastic bin. And we're sitting on the floor because the couch is still in three pieces. But we wanted to record a show for you guys because there was a lot to talk about. And we saw a great movie a couple of nights ago. And we visited another park, not a Disney park, just recently. And, you know, there was other stuff. I don't know how much I want to get into all the darker, the bad stuff. And we'll talk about it and touch on it. But I don't want it to be the focus because it's been the focus so much since we started coming down here. The drive down here was interesting because there was first a shooting at a mall for a pop star.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a mass shooting.
At the nightclub.
At the nightclub, of course. And then there was the attack. I don't know what if you call it, whatever you want to call it, the incident that occurred at the Grand Floridian, including, a young boy and all the tragedy that happened from that. And now, all that's coming from that, when it was announced, you pretty much knew like, okay, no one's going to be able to go on those beaches again, pretty much. And they are putting up fences now in front of that beach. And I'm sure all the other ones eventually.
Yeah. And they've also put up new signs, indicating alligators and snakes are in the water. And, it's a combo sign, like don't go in the water because of the animals, don't feed any wildlife, the whole thing.
Yeah. The whole thing, which, if you're a local for a long time and I've read it a number of times on comments, everyone thinks like, oh, you should just know that. Nah, you really shouldn't. That's something that should have been up there. But also, when a sign says don't swim, don't swim. So just be cautious when you're traveling. I don't care where you are. Still be cautious. Still be aware of your surroundings. And it's just an awful, awful thing that happened. And hopefully, I'm hoping there's not a further reaction. Like, people were jokingly saying like, oh, are they going to take Ginger out of the Jungle Book, the Jungle Cruise now?
Yeah, I know they toned down the jokes like after that, but I'm hoping, they don't remove stuff just because.
I hope not. I truly hope not. But that's got to be awful for that family to go through. And then, of course, the mass shooting was another day in America, seemingly. But maybe this is the time where things actually change. Who knows? I'm not going to get into that discussion on this show, and I just hope anyone who is affected, our feelings go out to you, however little that really matters in the real world. Thoughts and prayers don't equal results and change. Just it's a nice sentiment, but it doesn't change anything. No. Actual things have to change. Like reality has to change, not just how I beam out thoughts to you over the airwaves. So hopefully we see actual things. But going off of that, I just wanted to address it so it doesn't seem like we're ignoring it. But now we're going to move on to it. We're going to move on. So here we are. We are in Lakeland. We're about a half hour, 35 minutes away from Disney now.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
It's quite nice.
It's quite nice. It's quite hot.
Well, yes.
It's really crazy humid. It's not bad out today. And if this was a day in New York, I would say ugh, it's disgusting out. But with the last 4 days that we've had, today doesn't feel bad.
See, you're already adjusting.
No, that's just lowering my expectations. That's not the same thing. So it's been, it's definitely been a bit of a shock to the system, the amount of heat that we've been hit with already. But we have been told that this is in a larger amount of heat than normal for this time of year.
Yeah, it was also weird because New York was cold for so long that we just got thrown into this. There was no gradual change into spring in New York. We had maybe a couple 70 degree days, and now all of a sudden it's 90 plus, tons of humidity. So it's
The day before we left, I was wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
Because I don't wear a hoodie just for the fun of it. I wear a hoodie because I need one. I don't get cold very often. But I was like, oh, it's chilly out today. And I threw on a hoodie. And then the next day during the drive down, it went from me wearing a black work shirt and jeans to questioning every choice that I made when we got to Washington, D.C., because it was already 90 degrees and not that far into the day. But we're down here. We're still moving in. It is quite a process. Moving is awful. Hire a moving company that isn't a bunch of fools. We've had a lot of problems. You know what? I'll even say, what's the name of that company we had trouble with?
Well, we started with Assurance Van Lines. They broker out the moving to local companies. So they brokered us out to Moving America Express. And that was the one that was kind of I don't know. It was easy to get in contact with them, but the communication between the two companies, from us telling Assurance Van Lines what we needed to them actually telling the actual moving company what we needed, there was a huge gap.
Yeah, a lot of disparity. But we're here. It's whatever. It's in the past now, hopefully.
We made it. None of our... The TV made it. That's the most important thing.
The TV made it. The art made it. Well, for the most part, we have one claim to put in. And here we are. So...
Yay.
We're going to talk about something that actually happened later than what we're going to talk about later in the show. And that is it was two nights ago.
Thursday night.
We went to a double feature locally with the show and people that most of you know, Jimmy Styles. We actually went and saw a double feature of Finding Nemo and then Finding Dory. Both in 3D over in down in Disney Springs, which looks incredible. With the expansion of the town center?
Town center.
I always forget what I always want to say town hall. I don't know why. And let's just start, from the top, really. This is a follow-up to 2003's Finding Nemo, which was directed by Andrew Stanton. He returns to this film when, in the meantime, he did do John Carter of Mars, which was his first jump into live action.
John Carter.
It's just called John Carter because John Carter of Mars was deemed way too interesting. So they were like, no, we should just make it about white dude. An absolute poorly handled, pretty good film.
Yeah, the film wasn't bad, but the marketing
film's
was
not
terrible.
Bad. Yeah, the film's not bad. It's just an awful, awful job of marketing that movie. When it said we're going to do Finding Dory and Andrew Stanton is coming back, for me, it was very akin to, you've got to go back home.
Yeah.
Because you went out, you tried something, it turned into a big fiasco, and now you've got to come back to where, your biggest one. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, before we talk about Finding Dory, I just wanted to mention the Finding Nemo film in 3D. It still held up beautifully. It was really lovely.
Yeah. It still held up. I had no problems with that. I mean, he also did WALL-E. Yeah. You know, which was also, you know, I mean, come on. The guy did, he was a co-director of Bug's Life. Then he did WALL-E. And then from WALL-E, I'm sorry, he co-directed Bug's Life. He went to Finding Nemo. Then he went to WALL-E. Then from WALL-E, he went to John Carter. And now he's back at Finding Dory four years after the fact. So we opened it, as Melissa was saying, with Finding Nemo, which, yeah, absolutely holds up. Yeah. All the humor holds up. The visuals hold up. It doesn't look dated.
Not at all.
The crowd, it basically turned into a quote-along.
Yep. Yep.
Which was fun.
It was interesting. If it wasn't in Disney Springs, I'm not sure how I would have felt about it. But because it was like an event or whatever, I was like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah, I was okay with it. I'm under the impression that we had a lot of cast members in that crowd.
That's very possible.
So, you know what? Fine. It was fine. It didn't take away from the film. It wasn't like I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun hearing people attempt to mimic the whale song.
Yeah.
The whale speak and all that kind of stuff. So it was really, really nice. Following that, we went into the short film Piper, which, what'd you think, Mel?
It was adorable.
It was adorable.
I loved it.
It's kind of like, that was it, though.
Yeah. Well, the... going from Finding Nemo and then to see the opening of Piper where the water is on the sand and the foam, you know, with the waves, it looked so realistic. Like the jump in animation technology, it was so lovely. And even the animation on the birds, the feathers, so detailed. It's that type of detail. Like when you first, when we first watch, Up and you see the fabric on his ties. This was like that same type of reaction where I was like, oh my gosh, it's so real.
Yeah, I thought this was the most photorealistic environment that mm-hmm. Pixar ever created. Maybe up until then, the next film started. The story is fine. Yeah. It's nothing too chancy. It's just kind of like this cute little thing. I don't know how many times I'll go back to it.
Yeah, I feel like that with most of their shorts. Like, they're either, like, really cute and adorable and, like, it's fun or funny, but it's, like, I don't know. There's only a couple that really stand out to me.
Yeah, but that's why, you know, I hope for that every time.
Yeah.
You know, I hope for a Presto every yeah. time I go. I hope for, even now, Lava, you know, mm-hmm. is one of those. I love Boundin'.
Yeah.
So, it was a very nice little short. It was well done. The music was really nice. Everything about it was fair. And it worked on a theme that would carry over to Finding Dory. This is really the point of talking about Piper. Is that a seemingly disadvantage can become your strength.
Right.
And that's a theme that is the backbone to everything that happens in Finding Dory. So Dory starts up. And to just, you know, to touch on something we recently spoke about, actually when we had Lou on the show many, many months ago, this was in our list of films that we weren't that crazy about that were coming up, but they weren't anticipated.
Yeah, it was kind of like a, all right, kind of thing.
Yeah, our main question was, is this a world we need to go back to?
Exactly.
You know, we learned the story. It seemed like we were done. And then you found out, oh, no, we're going back and we're going to, you know, do a whole thing with Dory. It was like, I guess. You know, this is also because the sequels that aren't called Toy Story
haven't been the good. Best.
Not that there's been many. Monsters U and Cars 2.
Well, Monsters U I really like.
Monsters U I like, but it's also unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, it's completely unnecessary. It's fun, but it's an unnecessary film. It didn't give me anything different. I mean, the characters even kind of went through the same, you know, friendship argument thing as yeah. they do in Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
So while I really enjoy it, it doesn't really bring anything new to me. This, though, does a really good job of taking a very familiar setting, very familiar characters, and doing something different with it. Melissa, what was your overall feel of Finding Dory?
I really liked it. I was definitely surprised by it from going to, you know, from hearing the announcement and not being super excited about it. I was amazingly surprised by what the end result was. I was really happy.
I was happy too. I think this is incredible visuals. It's mm-hmm. another leap towards the immersion. I think this is a rarity out of me. I think I've said it once or twice before in the show. See this film in 3D because the 3D work is seamless. and it's immersive, which is the two things I want out of 3D. I don't want anyone poking crap at me through the screen. I think that's a bunch of garbage. One of the trailers that we saw was nothing but that. I can't remember the name of it. It doesn't even deserve my attention. But it was nothing but like, hey, this is sticking out at you. This is sticking out at you. They don't do that in this film. It's all about just the story and where it happens to go.
Yeah, no, it's like the depth of it that really gets you in the...
Pun. No. Not a, you didn't mean it that way?
Didn't mean it that
Good.
Way.
Good. All right. All the returning characters seem very comfortable being put back into their roles, but I remember one of my main concerns was I didn't want to hear Marlon act like Marlon from the first film.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
No. He, like, started to, but it was, like, very short, and then it was like, okay.
He catches himself.
Yeah.
He catches himself. So I like it that characters have retained lessons that were learned in the first film.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like a sequel and not like an animated short on Disney, you know, like a weekly show where no one learns anything that happened from the week before, you know, like a sitcom kind of stupidity that you get. These people actually understood what happened in the first film. They remembered it and they treated the characters as such. I did have a couple of little issues with the film. But I'm going to say this issue, but then let me get to the end of it. They really, really push the cuteness button on the young Dory. And there's a cynical part of me that says it was just the cheap, easy route to get the audience to care about a young Dory. But it also worked.
It did.
And it worked incredibly well in the audience. So then who's to say what's right and what's wrong if the end result was the audience really feeling and having an emotion for young Dory?
Yeah.
I think that people's reactions are a little much in a movie theater. Like the over like, like that happened 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Seemingly by the same voice.
Yeah, you didn't have to.
Yeah, like we get it. Everyone knows. Post it on Facebook. We get it. You can get people to like it or something, and then you'll be fine.
But she was adorable.
She was. You know, the huge eyes and the voice.
The voice, I think, is what got everyone.
Yeah. I think it was the whole thing. I mean, the big, you know, the big doe eyes and this and that. It's just very, very easy to fall for a character like that. I really enjoy what I was saying before. The film celebrates differences and how one's handicap can really become a gift.
Yeah.
And that is really, really shown through Dory because her ability to basically jump into a situation and not consider all the angles and just do what she thinks is the right thing to do turns out to be the most important decisions that she makes in the film.
Yeah. And she doesn't let her short-term memory loss become a hindrance. She uses other techniques, she uses other people, ways to get around it, and really learns how to go above and beyond what people might, you know, say, no, you can't do that, you shouldn't do it because of your issue. She's like, nope, not gonna let that hold me back, I'm gonna go for it. And that was really great.
And that also works really well with the character Bailey, who is a beluga whale voiced by Ty Burrell. His character is another one that finds, you know, thinks they have a weakness and then discovers it is a great strength. Same with Caitlin Olsen, who voices Destiny, who was the whale shark. And I already love Caitlin Olsen so much because of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So that was really great hearing her in there. Ed O'Neill has a phenomenal role as Hank. I would say he's not the highlight. He's close to the highlight, but he's not the highlight. But he's great. He works as a really phenomenal flip to Dory. And their screen time together is really the best parts of the film overall.
Yeah.
Their, you know, connectivity. Maybe it gets a little Toy Story 3 at the end with driving cars and stuff like that.
Yeah, it does get a little...
More
cartoony, I guess, than I would have liked, maybe.
Well...
Like Looney Tunes cartoony. That's what I meant. Like the acting.
See, actually... I don't mind that because I thought that the slapstick humor in this film was the funniest that Pixar's ever been.
It definitely was hysterical.
It was just kind of like, oh, okay, we're going to go this far into this sort of idea, you know, with fish characters doing very, 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 very human things, which they hadn't done before. But I was okay with it after the film. When it happened during the film, I was a little like, oh, that seems odd. But... My real issue was the constant, we're all together, and then something happens and you're all separated. We're all together, and then we're separated again. They go to that well maybe one too many times.
Yeah.
But the last time that they did it, where I did kind of moan a little bit, like, oh, God, we're going to keep going again. We got to have another sequence like this. It led to the funniest part in the film for me.
It did. That was a really great part.
Which had to, you know, I'll just say it had to do with Satchmo. And that's pretty much all I'll say towards it. So even when I had a moment of, okay, let's wrap this up because, you know, we're good. We are very good. We're extremely good. Even when I had a little bit of a down from that, they recovered with, again, might be the hardest I've ever laughed in a Pixar film.
Yeah.
And the scene stealers, though, for me, were voiced by Idris Elba and Dominic West. They were Fluke and Rudder.
Yeah, the two, what, seals?
Yeah, the lion seals? Seal lions?
Sea lions, yeah.
Whatever they were. They were my favorite part of the film. It was a running joke that went on for nearly the entire film and never got tired of it.
Yeah, they were like, I guess you could kind of equate them to like the seagulls with the mine.
They're seagulls part two.
But they were a lot better because they had more than just that one word to say.
Yeah, they were a ton better.
I loved them.
I really, really fell in love with those two characters. I thought they were a great addition. I really enjoyed, in the very beginning, we had a great little spot by Kate McKinnon and Bill Hader as a husband, a wife and fish husband and wife fishes, I guess, or fish. Kate McKinnon, you're going to really hear about a lot with the new Ghostbusters film coming out. Bill Hader, of course, you probably know of already from all of his SNL work and the numerous films that he's been in since then. He's really, like, taking care of himself post-SNL, which a lot of people usually can't say, so he's really gone well. Andrew Stanton returned as the voice of Crush.
Yeah.
Which I thought, ooh, I don't know, should I cut that out? Oh.
No.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a spoiler. I guess all this, you know, all these people are coming back.
Yeah.
So what else did I, you know, what else did we want to say towards this? I just thought it was, well, I thought it was smart. I thought it was smart made. I thought it was well made. It had a good intention. It had a good story. It had a good reasoning. And it equated family and friends.
Yeah.
Which I've always been a big proponent of. You know, my closest friends are my family. And, I mean, most of my family I don't talk to, but friends that I have not physically seen in over a decade, I still talk to all the time. And, like, when we get together, it's like nothing ever changed.
Yeah. And for me, it's like my family, like, are my friends. My sister's my best friend. Like, I wouldn't have, you know, it any other way. She's always there for me, and not just because she's my sister. So, you know, it really shows the spectrum of friends, family, and who can become who, and, you know, there's no lines anymore.
Yeah, so I really, really like that, because I've always felt that was something that doesn't get, you know, Toy Story does a really good job with that, of course. That's all about, like, friendships, and they're not really family, but they are.
Yeah.
But I thought this was even more bringing it to the forefront of that kind of an idea. So I really, really liked it. Oh, and on an emotional level, I loved that Jerome Ranft, the brother of Joe Ranft, voiced Jacques.
Yeah.
And that's a nice, you know, thing to have back, because Joe Ranft, of course, passed away a number of years ago. He originally voiced Jacques in Finding Nemo. So I would absolutely recommend this film. I recommend it to go see it in 3D on a beautiful screen. Like, find a good theater. This is a film to find a good theater in, because the visual fidelity and the audio was gorgeous. The 3D was gorgeous. It looks sharp. It's a timeless. I think this is another timeless a Pixar film.
Yeah.
You know, it's a perfect follow-up to Finding Nemo, and I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, it was nice.
At all. So you would recommend it, I'm assuming?
Definitely, and definitely stay through the credits, stay till the end. It's nothing, you know, like Marvel-y, like huge, but it's a nice little end thing. So yeah, definitely stay for it.
It's a fun little goodbye at the end. And then I wonder, do they have another one? Is there another thing? You know, is it a Finding something? I don't know. I hope it is. I don't know. Because now that they did it correctly twice, I'm like, all right, I guess if you come up with a third one, I have to give you the benefit of the doubt at the very least now.
Yeah.
Not for Cars 2, though, or Cars 3.
Or any of those.
Because Cars 2 wasn't any good.
No.
So let's talk about, though, there is another theme park in Florida, if you guys didn't know. There's a couple, actually.
No.
Yeah, there is. And you know what? They're really cool.
No, they are.
They're really cool. And we're going to talk about one of them today for the second half of our show. And we are going to talk about discovering Universal Studios. Now, I'm not saying this is the first time we've ever gone, but this is the first time that we've gone for more than a two-hour event or three-hour event in about 7 years.
Yeah, the last time we were there was 2009. So.
Oh, wow. It is exactly 7 years. Yep. Oh, I didn't know that. I was a guess.
That was back when we got engaged.
Oh, okay. All right. And then we didn't have a great time.
No.
We didn't have a great time. There, we had a lot of issues. We had a lot of issues with the way Express Pass was implemented.
Yeah, because we were very spoiled by Disney. Like, if you are a Disney park goer, some of the stuff in Universal, and I even have this gripe with Six Flags also, like, when you get to the Express Pass kind of thing, you know, I was very spoiled by Disney. It's free. It's part of the thing. So when you're told, no, you have to pay for it, it always irked me. And the fact that the ticket price was high and, you know, whatever. I was never a big, like, I want to go back to Universal. But now that we're living here.
Well, also, our bigger issue was that it seemed the Express Pass was, I don't know if they've changed it, but it was shutting out us of moving on the line, on the normal standby line.
Yeah.
We waited at Men in Black for about 45 minutes when there were only 10 to 15 people in front of us.
Yeah, we could see them loading it, and they just kept taking the people from the express line.
Yeah,
and
so that was really the problem.
That was the pushing, the tilt.
And it was like,
point.
Oh, okay, so if I don't get this, I'm really going to get punished. Like, if I, you know, so, because I understand, like, look, if I don't buy it, I am saying I'm going to wait in a longer line.
Yeah.
That should not, though, multiply the short amount of people that are in front of me by like 10.
Yeah.
So that was really my issue with it because, you know, it shouldn't be a mandatory, but it felt like a mandatory on that particular visit.
Yeah.
So we hadn't gone back for a long time. I also don't care for many of the properties they have in there. Like, I like the first Shrek film. I like the second one, but like, that's it. It's not something that I go back to very, very often. I don't care about Minions. I don't really care about Transformers, honestly. You know, and they got rid of a lot of things that I thought were really quite interesting and immersive. And I always thought the Alfred Hitchcock thing was something that was very, very interactive and cool. And so, you know, I had my things. But Islands of Adventure, I thought was glorious. Islands of Adventure, when I first went in there at the age of, I don't know, 19 or 20, I thought it was just the best park I'd ever been to because it had all these beautiful different themes and it was all things that I was interested in. Even Lost Continent, just the idea of that, like gods and things like that, was really, really cool to me. And then you have Jurassic Park, you have Marvel, you have Dr. Seuss. It was just exactly what I wanted. So now we come back. I was very excited to get back into it because we also knew that Skull Island, Reign of Kong is right around the corner. There was, you know, a whole new addition, redoing of the Back to the Future area for Simpsons, which I had not seen.
Yep.
We had only been in Diagon Alley.
Yep.
We had never been in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and Hogsmeade. So there was a lot to see. There was a lot of new stuff. So we went, and right off the bat, we became Premier Annual Pass holders, which was priced at $444 a piece. And since we are now residents, we were able to do the FlexPay option, which you put down $236 you could put more. I'm pretty sure you can put more.
Yeah.
And then you pay approximately $22 a month over the next year. There are no blackout dates with this. You get free valet parking and premier parking, even if premier parking doesn't seem to be that much of an advantage in our experience so far. It just seems that you're parking on the same level as the escalator.
Yeah, as the moving sidewalk.
As the moving sidewalk, yeah.
So, like, you don't have to go up or down, but you might have to still walk.
Yeah, so I didn't really get the point of that, but we're just going to take advantage of the valet parking more now, as long as we are not staying there the entire day, because then we were even told this by one of the team members over there. To get your car at the end of the day via valet can take a while because there's a lot of people there.
Yeah, so is everyone else.
It also includes a free non-peak ticket to Halloween Horror Nights, which is phenomenal. And it includes Universal Express after 4 p.m. daily, which between that, the Halloween Horror Nights, and the free valet parking, and you get both parks for $444 for a year.
That's not terrible.
That's not terrible. That's insanely good.
Yeah.
okay, because we pay almost $200 more for Disney. Now, yes, there's four parks, so there's an immense amount more to do. That is without question. But there doesn't seem to be many perks that come with that annual pass.
For Disney?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not as much as the Universal one.
Yeah, Universal really, really throws on the extras. The biggest thing being that Express, in my opinion, that is absolutely priceless.
Yeah.
Because that means that I can go any night that I want and be able to jump on a bunch of rides. Not just one or two or three. Like, everything that I would like.
Yeah.
And now, the downside to that is it does not include the newest rides in the two Potter parks. But I have a feeling just over time, when the new stuff is introduced, they will get that.
Hopefully, yeah.
If not, and everything that they ever introduce is never added onto Universal Express, then I'll think this over.
Yeah.
But for the meantime, I really think it's amazing. Now, what was the other numbers, some discounts that we get through that as well?
There's a 20% off the Amazing Pictures. So any ride pictures you want, you get the 20% off of that. There's 15% off of all restaurants, food, beverages, even alcoholic beverages. So that's good.
Wasn't 10%? I thought it was 10%. It's 15?
15.
Okay, great.
You also get 15% off of any of the Universal Studios owned and operated stores. So any merchandise you want to buy there.
Okay, great.
If you wanted to buy tickets for other people, any multi-day theme park ticket, admission tickets, purchased at the front gate, you can also get 15% off. So you can buy for someone.
Oh, I wish we knew that.
Yeah, we didn't
Oops.
Know that.
Sorry, Davey and Britt. We didn't know. I didn't know until just now, as a matter of fact. That was a thing. So we spent an entire day, a Monday, I believe it was, in Universal. We were there all 12 hours that the place was open. And we experienced just about, not the whole park, because the train, the Hogwarts Express, was down a couple of times.
Yeah, so it limited our movement a little bit.
Yeah, we were sort of waiting for it to come back up.
Yeah.
So we would go do something else, then come back and check and, you know, this and that. Yes, Melissa?
I'm sorry, I wasn't done with the discounts.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You also get discounts off food at City Walk, entertainment, including the Blue Man Group that they have over there. $3 off admission at the AMC Universal Studios IMAX that's on City Walk. You get discounts off of the hotels also. You could save up to 30% off room rates. So that's something if you want to do a little staycation, you can.
That's a huge number too.
Yeah.
That's a really nice number.
Yeah. I mean, it's up to, but yeah, I'm sure during non-peak times you can probably get.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just everywhere around there.
A litany.
Yeah.
A litany of advantages to being a premier pass holder or a pass holder in any form. You know, they all have tiers and whatnot. So how was the parks? You know, what do we think of the parks? We first went to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter because we had not been there previous. As I said, we went to Diagon Alley and we wanted to go try the Forbidden Journey, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, which neither of us had ever gone on, or I'd done a really good job. And I believe Melissa had too. I'd never watched a video.
Yeah, no, I
don't. I try not to do that kind of stuff because I think it ruins it, really. So off we went over to Hogsmeade for our first experience over there. And I forget, did we go right to the Butterbeer or did we go on the attraction first?
I believe we went on the attraction first.
Okay. What was your impression of Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey?
I was really surprised by it. I liked it. Like you said, I hadn't watched any videos. I didn't know anything about it. So it was really cool the way that they loaded. I didn't even know it was a continuous loader. So that was kind of cool. And yeah, I don't know. I was really impressed by it.
I enjoyed it immensely. I was looking forward to it. I had heard that it is the better of the two attractions, and having experienced Gringotts previously, I agree with that. I think that the Forbidden Journey is the better of the two attractions.
Mm-hmm.
There's more tangible stuff that you feel like you can reach out and touch because it is like right there.
Yeah.
There, I mean, you can definitely make an argument that there's way too many screens in
Gringotts?
In Gringotts.
I agree. Also, with Gringotts, you tend to stop to watch what's on the screen, and I like how the Forbidden Journey continually moves.
Yeah, I also really enjoyed just animatronics.
Yeah.
You know, that's a thing in all of Universal, though, actually. When I said that, I meant, like, towards all of Universal. Mm-hmm. There might be too much screen work in 3D and not enough actual practical things made. But when they make those things, it's really quite impressive.
Yeah.
But, man, you get moved around on this ride.
Yeah.
You get really, you know, brought upside, not upside down, but, you know, brought to extreme angles. Don't have loose items in your pockets. They're not kidding. Like, get that stuff out. Put it in the locker. The locker situation, though, they offer you free lockers because you can't go on there with loose items like a pocketbook and stuff like that. But the locker situation is terrible.
Yeah.
It's way too many people in way too small of a space. They should really make it that only one member of the family or two at the most can actually go and access that locker, because there's just, you know, 40, 50 people in this tight little space trying to, you know, use four different panels.
Yeah.
And it made for a very uncomfortable moment just trying to get your hat.
Yeah.
But it is also extremely necessary to put your stuff in those lockers. Don't bypass it. I actually had my phone in my pocket, which I didn't think was an issue, and it fell out of my pocket.
Yeah.
Luckily, it didn't go anywhere because it just sort of like slid behind me and there it stayed. But that would have been my fault because I just didn't think that out of my pocket this thing would come from this attraction.
Yeah, but no, yeah, you get to like almost lay down and you get gone forward and side to side. So yeah, it's definitely a woo.
Yeah, and at the same time though, it's not jarring.
No.
It's a very smooth experience. But then, you know, that's been around for a while, so I don't want to, you know, talk about that so much. Just want to give our overall impression of it. I thought Hogsmeade was quite nice. It's very, very nice. But when you compare it to Gringotts, that's where you see Gringotts is far beyond Hogwarts. Like, the attraction in Hogsmeade is better, but the layout and the feel and the immersion in Gringotts is better than any park I've ever been in.
Yeah, just, I think it's because, like, you don't see Diagon Alley. You have to go around a corner. And then when you get that reveal, it's... you're there. You're in the set. You know, you're in the movie. So it's like, yeah, it's just like awe. And then, yeah, the entire theming of that entire Diagon Alley is beautiful.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. It intertwines. It has a lot to see. It has a lot of cool shops.
Yeah.
It's got some good food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some great entertainment that seems to just kind of pop. I mean, I know they have schedules, but it feels like very random when they're up there, like in a cool way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's something going on now. Even though I know they go by a schedule, it just feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
Gringotts, though, even though I'm saying it's not as good as The Forbidden Journey, it's a really cool experience.
Yeah.
I think it's a great experience. It uses technology very smartly. It's sharp. It feels good. Again, it's not jarring or jittery in any way. It's a bit more of a thrill experience than I would say Forbidden Journey is.
Yeah.
And it's just a really well done, extremely well themed, very immersive experience. I look forward to what they do next because, okay, great. You've got these two attractions and then you remolded two other attractions to fit the theme, you know, with the unicorn and the dragon challenge, which used to just be dueling dragons.
Right.
What are you going to do next? The Hogwarts Express is really great. I think it's a cool experience going back and forth. If you can get it on, you know, definitely go in both directions. You get two different experiences. And I think that everyone will have their own favorite.
Yep.
Because they might just see something in particular like, oh, that's my favorite thing in the Harry Potter universe. So they may clamp onto that, you know, more than the other one. But now what are you going to do next?
Yeah.
Because where do you go? Obviously, I think for Hogsmeade, you just wreck the rest of
the
Lost Continent. Yeah. And, you know, there's no point. Every time that we walked by the talking water fountain, that guy was doing jokes based on Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
He kept saying, like, oh, are you a wizard? Do you know Harry Potter? And it was like, wow, man, just give up. Just knock this stuff down, build a new.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, expand Harry Potter. There's no reason not to. There's a million things you can do.
Yeah.
I also think they really should try to find a way and get Emma Watson to record her lines for the Gringotts attraction and the train. I don't believe that's her on the train either. Because, man, it sounds bad.
You can tell, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like an awful Emma Watson impersonation. Not even an Emma Watson impersonation. It's just some chick. It just doesn't sound good on any level. We also got to experience Skull Island Reign of Kong. Actually, we were lucky enough yesterday or 2 days ago when we were there all day. Not all day, but we were out and about all day, I should say, that they opened up for a soft opening for Reign of Kong. We specifically went there with Jimmy, actually, to try to experience this. And after a very lengthy wait because of rain, we actually got to go on the ride. And the queue was really cool.
Yeah.
Very dark, very creepy.
Well, that was the inside. The outside.
Yeah, I was just about to get
to
that.
Okay, sorry.
Very dark, very creepy. There's a couple of really cool animatronics.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is when you started that ride, when you were on the outside queue, it was very hokey 40s-ish radio, you know, radio music and like old radio timey voice.
It reminded me of Jungle Cruise.
It was, yeah, it was like a Jungle Cruise that didn't realize it was supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
That wasn't funny. That was the outside cue of King Kong mixed in with a couple of foreboding voices.
Yeah.
And extremely foreboding imagery. Like the cue has nothing bright and cheery about it.
No.
But then you hear
everywhere.
This. Yeah. But then you hear this like folksy kind of voice coming over the radio. It's just, it's bad. It doesn't match. It's really, really distracting.
Yeah, the juxtaposition is just really odd because then, yeah, you have flames, you have skulls everywhere, spears. So, yeah, it's very like, and then sometimes the chanting of Kong.
Yeah,
name.
Which that's all the good stuff.
Yeah, that's all cool. And like, yeah, you're getting ready, like intense thing. And then, yeah, like the guys over the radio like, welcome. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, welcome to the Ninth Wonder Expeditions. It's like, no, shut up. Leave me alone. less is more sometimes, guys. And that cue audibly needs less.
Yeah. Especially then, outside, yeah.
Yeah, and then when you go inside, it's just creepy. It's great. It's really great. There's a couple of spots where you can see they may put in scare actors in the future to jump out at people, which I think is great.
I'm never going on that.
And then when you sort of get to the final part of the queue, you're introduced to, I would guess, the voice cast of people that, you know, are on this expedition with you that you're then going to meet when you go on the actual ride. And again, too much.
Yeah.
Too much. They introduced, number one, they introduced numerous characters.
Yeah.
I don't care about any of these people. I just want to go on Kong. And that was the only thing I cared about. I just wanted to go on the attraction. I wanted to be creeped out. I wanted to hear chanting. You know, all the things that happened up till the very end and what happened in the beginning.
Yeah.
The middle portion of that queue is perfect.
Yeah.
It's the beginning and then the climax with an incredibly cool animatronic of like a worm slug.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch Peter Jackson's King Kong, that is very, very much the tone of the things that you see in this ride. So if you're familiar with that film and when you see the thing that I am referring to, I think you'll know exactly what I'm talking about and how I mean it. So but the ride itself though, what did you think of the attraction itself?
I know it was soft opening, so we missed the first scene because it was down. But the other scenes were up. It was cool. There was a lot going on. Being a short person, that kind of put me at a disadvantage because you have things, you know, you're on a vehicle like almost like Kilimanjaro Spiders. You're in a big Jeep vehicle. So the left and right, I sat all the way against the right side. So when stuff was happening on the left side, it was a little like, oh, I have to look around and up and down, and I can't really see everything.
And I think that was accented by the fact that we were in the front row.
Yeah, we were in the second row, but still, it was too close.
Second row, yeah. This is, I think, the biggest problem right now with this attraction. You're in this truck, and your driver is an animatronic, and they have like a silk screen between you and that animatronic. Well, it cuts off your vision totally from looking forward.
Yeah.
Out of the van, which I think is a really dumb decision.
Yeah.
Because then if you're in the first couple of rows, all you can do is look to your left and right, your immediate left and right.
Yeah.
You know, so your vision is extremely limited.
Yeah.
If you're sitting in the back of the van.
That might be better.
I think that's immensely better because then you get to see everything because you're not 4 feet away from what is basically a visual brick wall.
Yeah.
So I would suggest going to the last couple of rows in the ride, ask to wait for it. really avoid the front. Avoid the front at all costs. Because there's a lot going on. Your head's going to go back and forth a lot. I had a really great time in the ride, but I also feel like I missed a third of it when it was going on.
Yeah.
So, which is cool. That means that I'm going to go back and I'm going to see other stuff, but that's also maybe a flaw.
Because again, no express pass line that we saw. We saw the line for the attraction and we saw the line for single rider. So to what we could assume, I don't know if it's, you know, when it opens, if it's going to be like this, but as far as we can see, there's no express line.
Yeah, which is not cool. I will then only go on it with single rider just to save myself a bunch of time because that thing's going to have multiple hour waits.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first sequence, unfortunately, the screens didn't activate. They had a, you know, a hiccup. Look, you sign on for that when you go on a ride, when you go on soft opening. Yeah. That's exactly what you sign up for. So it was a bit of a bummer, but the first sequence didn't happen. But it also felt like it was just more of an extra introductory sequence.
Yeah.
Because you start the ride and you're told not to wear your glasses, not to wear your 3D goggles. And then by that first screen, you obviously have to have them on, but we never got the audio cue.
Yeah.
Oh, put on your safety goggles or whatever they would say it for. So we kind of, you know, we didn't kind of. We missed the first sequence. And the second sequence, we were just in the slap dab in the middle of the jungle. And we see Kong and we see, you know, a T-Rex. With, look, there's plush toys outside. I'm not ruining anything saying that Kong and a T-Rex are in here. And it was great. I thought it was really great.
Yeah.
It was incredibly good looking. I don't know what frame rate they're using on those visuals, but for something in 3D to be moving that quick and for my head to be shooting left and right and left and right and never lose sight of that 3D effect, that's really, really impressive.
Yeah.
So there's some really high tech going on in there. I thought that there was, you know, some... I don't know. I just thought it was immersive. I did feel like it was very immersive. Unfortunately, we were too close to the front of the thing to maybe get the full experience that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
But then the ride just ends.
Yeah, then it's like, okay, battle's done.
Yeah, there's three screen sequences, three rooms, basically, that you go in and you get a 3D show. And then you turn a corner and you get to see the gigantic... Kong animatronic, but he just sort of sits there and looks at you.
Yeah, like I don't know if anything else is supposed to happen. Like, yeah, he moves around, he roars and whatever, but it's like, I don't
know.
He
doesn't roar though.
Well, no, like, yeah, grunts or whatever. He does make noise.
But that's the thing, it's because I feel like there was something a little off on that because we're going around very slowly around the Kong animatronic so everyone can get a really, really, really good look.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just sort of standing there, and you hear the driver say, okay, now it's time to panic, and drives away, and then you pull into the station, and I was like, why?
Yeah, like he just saved
What cued the panic thing?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there was supposed to be a thing where he turns and really roars at you.
Okay.
And that's when he's like, now it's time to panic, and you get out of Dodge.
Mm.
That's the only thing I can guess. So... we'll know for sure once we go on the thing, when it has its full opening. They don't have a hard date on that yet. But so far, so good.
Yeah.
I think that there can be some tweaks to the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I really think the tweak is take some stuff out.
Yeah. Less.
Just make it drums and eerie, and that's it. And you'll be a lot better off.
Yeah, because there were a couple times where it was just the drums and the chanting of Kong, and it was like super, like you were getting amped up.
Yeah.
Really, like
the most excited I got was we were in this very large queue room,
mm-hmm.
where there was an animatronic of basically like a witch doctor or something. I don't know what you would say it would be.
Shaman.
And shaman, yeah. And she was chanting, and the fire was getting bigger, and you heard voices chanting, and that was getting louder and boomier. And it was like, oh my God, yeah, let's go. Let's go on this ride. I want to see everything right now. And then you went into the next room and it was like, here's your crew. Hey there, Johnny. You ready to go on this adventure? It's like, no. Oh my God, no.
I know. I was really hoping that once we turned the corner, we'd see like the vehicles and the load station.
I thought that was it. Yeah, I thought we were going to be on there. So hearing all those really bad voice actors, just call it what it is. It took out that really, really high moment of excitement we had from an animatronic.
Yeah.
So.
Which that animatronic also moved like insanely fluidly.
Yeah.
Like,
it was really cool.
Even her
looking.
Hands were like crazy
it
realistic.
It was really cool looking.
Yeah.
And I look forward. I could just hang out in that room for like 20 minutes
mm.
and just check out how the whole sequence works out, because I thought it was ultra, ultra cool. And we went through that room very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, of all the other rooms where we kind of twisted around the queue, that room, we were not going through the queue very much. It was basically just up one side, down the other, and you were out.
Yeah.
So, Reign of Kong, more to come. Very cool, though. I enjoyed what we got to experience, but I'm looking forward to seeing the full experience. Another thing that I just wanted to touch on was the HD update to Amazing Spider-Man was something I was looking forward to because I hadn't been on in so long. It looks incredible. That is still my favorite attraction in any theme park. I just think it is absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And perfect to the point that Transformers is just a beat-for-beat ripoff of Spider-Man. So it's very, I thought it was very disappointing.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Not that I expected a lot out of anything from that new Transformers universe, but I had hoped that they would at least come up with something original, and they didn't. Like, it's just the same ride as Spider-Man with different characters making those effects happen in front of you.
Yeah.
So, a bit of a bummer on that one. But I don't want to go on for too much longer because we still have so much to do today, and we have a whole night at Animal Kingdom actually planned tonight. So, Universal so far in our... We had like a day and a half now there.
Yeah.
I really like that park.
Yeah.
I wish there was more cover for shade.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like Epcot in the way that, oh my God, unless I just go inside this building, there's nothing else to give me cover.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy that park. I love the theming that they are doing with Harry Potter, and I hope that it finds its way into other parts of the park. Because Universal Studios itself can kind of feel just like plopped in.
Yeah.
Oh, this is here, and this is here, and this is here. And I understand it. It's supposed to be a studio, and that's what you would get on a film studio. You would get one film is over here and one film is over there. But maybe not have the guy with the Daily Bugle shirt walking through Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the greatest thing to do, because that was weird.
Yeah.
That was very weird and made me feel very thrown from the whole experience.
Yeah.
And it happened twice. There's always like, someone with a Daily Bugle shirt also. I thought that was weird.
They don't know where they're going.
Yeah. So more to come on Universal. There's so much to talk about in that place. We only just touched the very, very tip of the iceberg on that one. So we're going to be discussing Universal more as we visit it more and as more things happen there. And I think the best thing that ever happened to Disney is Universal getting its game back up. Because competition benefits us, the visitor.
Yeah.
Because if not for that, who knows what Disney would be doing and would not be doing, more importantly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's all good stuff, and I'm looking forward to visiting Universal more and more, and I'm really looking forward to being able to go to the Disney resort as much as we want.
Yeah.
Because it's been a great first week here. I know that we haven't like started our jobs yet, so it's kind of felt like a weird vacation. But just the fact that if we want to, we can just go over to the parks and we'll be able to cover it for you and discuss all the new going-ons. Oh, you know what? Really, really quick. Let's just do this and then we'll call it a show.
Okay.
We did get to go on Soarin' one last time before the new version of it kicked in.
Yeah.
Just yesterday. We got to go on Thursday night and experience the classic Soarin' in a new HD digital version. And it looked amazing.
It was lovely. It was like seeing it for the first time all over again. The colors popped. There were sequences where I was like, oh, I remember that looking like that. Like everything was sharp. I loved it.
Yeah, it was great. The scents weren't there. I don't know if it was just out for that trip in particular. Because I smelled it going in. I smelled the pine trees when we went in. Yeah, but then we didn't really get it on the ride. So I'm not sure what they're using on the new one. I'm not watching videos of it. We're going Monday. We have a fast pass of it. Watching Soarin' on a video is borderline insane to me. Experiencing it that way for the first time. I'm just going to wait till I can go there on Monday.
Yeah.
And it was really nice seeing the old one, but I'm very excited about the new one.
Yeah.
Very, very excited. The queue, they did some updates to it. You saw the new entrance for the third theater.
Yep.
Very Tron-ish looking, actually.
The new concourse, yeah.
And there's a new mobile... There's a game now that includes you doing stuff on your mobile phone. I'm not sure how that's going to work because your signal down there is terrible, but hopefully the Wi-Fi is working well. We will check that out.
Yeah.
We will not. I will not be going on the standby line to try out that game for a long time.
But at some point.
But at some point, yeah. We'll try it out. Just not anytime soon because maybe it, when we, it like, is close ultra the park busy or something. There. Yeah. So, okay, guys. A bit of a all over there sort of episode for you this week, but it's been an all over there last 7 days for me and Melissa. We will return next week with our review of Lady and the Tramp, going back to our Disney Movie Hour coverage, and we will be joined once again by Ryan Wilson, and we will also be joined by Brian and Scott, and everyone will be via Skype and all over the damn globe, so we're hoping that it will go smoothly. But before we go, Mel, do we have any new reviews to read?
We do. We're up to 55, but we only have one more that came in for the text.
Okay. Yeah, there's always a delay, guys. I apologize. So when the text comes in, we'll read it for you next time.
Yeah. This is from DC Lawyer, 1968. The best is a crowded field. Disney Magic Hour is the only one of the many Disney-related podcasts that I've stuck with. Thank you. The quality of the discussion is the first reason, and the focus on the movies and the other artistic-related output is the other. Host Peter Chidone keeps the discussion lively but light and ensures that the discussion does not get bogged down as many more amateurist podcasts do. They take movies in general seriously and treat Disney movies as real art. Plus, they're hilarious.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you. That's I'm really hysterical. Cool. I keep telling Peter that he doesn't listen.
Was that in there?
Yeah.
I said Melissa is hysterical.
Well, they're hysterical. I'm included in that.
All right. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Got it.
All right, guys. Right now you are listening to Boo Bass. You can find this video and more over at youtube.com/pogo. His music at soundcloud.com/pogomix. And his website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That is D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. On Facebook, if you search Disney Magic Hour, you can add yourself to the group. And if you're in the group, invite your friends. There's a little button there for invite friends. Now, granted, we still have to go through and like approve them and stuff, but that usually is not that big of a deal. So add your friends. Please do. And as long as you think that they would be, you know, into the whole Disney thing, obviously. Head on over to iTunes, leave a 5-star review, and Mel will read your review at the end of the show, just like she did tonight. And if you head on over to Google Play Music, go into their podcast section, search for Disney Magic Hour. You can find us that way, too. And, of course, once again, you can find all of our audio over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And then you can stream that through the app or on your whatever device you have. It's really great. So, till next week.
Go over to Instagram also.
Oh, yeah, no, go ahead, yes.
And search for Disney Magic Hour Podcast, the full word. You'll find some of our pictures, both updated ones and stuff from the past. So I've been having a lot of fun with it. So
definitely definitely head over there, because when we get new photos, that's where we post them first. So head on over to Instagram and look for Disney Magic Hour. Till next week, though, say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Pete. And say goodnight, Poco.
If it didn't do it again.